So, we're going to transition into our christening. And before I invite Andrew and Ruth Ann up with Caleb and also Matthew, just a word to say about what christening means for us here in Holy Trinity. From the very first moments of the early church, there was always a discussion between adult baptism versus infant christening. And from the very inception of the church, both have been performed together, and both have been formed in a valid way to express the faith, which is very active in the life of a child or an adult. Here in Holy Trinity, we believe that christening is the beginning of a journey into the household of faith. It's not becoming a Christian or proclaiming that for yourself. It's actually us as a community and the family and friends of Andrew and Ruth Ann welcoming them into the household of faith, because the household in the New Testament was a real metaphor for inclusion, for welcome, for embrace, and all the household would actually include that child in the bringing up of it in faith. And so this service, there's responses from you. You affirm your faith. You affirm the faith of this child, and you will say, yes, we will encourage Andrew and Ruth Ann in the bringing up of baby Caleb, in the hope and prayer that one day he will affirm Jesus himself. So it's a very ancient tradition which goes back a couple of thousand years, but yet just as important today as it was way back then. So you're welcome into that. You're welcome to participate, to say the vows, to worship and to pray as I invite forward Andrew and Ruth Ann with baby Caleb and also Matthew. I have some pictures here. Matthew, I put one up of you as well, just so you didn't feel left out. Yeah, there's Caleb there, just like his dad, loves a bit of sleep. So this is Andrew and Ruth Ann. They're just going to give a bit of a background and update as to why they're bringing Caleb to be christened. So can you give them a bit of a round of applause? And let's start off here.
So we just thought we'd share a few, read some verses from Numbers and share why we chose the name Caleb. I'm surprised at the number of people who haven't heard of the name Caleb or don't know the story of Joshua and Caleb, the two spies from the Old Testament. And so these, just picked a couple of verses from Numbers. This is why you should christen your child when they're a baby. Oh dear. So for people who don't know the story, the Israelites were out of Egypt and they were wandering in the desert and they were trying to find the promised land. And the Lord said to Moses at the time, send some of the men to explore the land of Canaan, which I'm going to give to the Israelites. And so Moses picked one leader from each of the tribes. So 12 men went into the land of Canaan. And at the end of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. And a lot of people, 10 of the spies said, you know, the land's too big and there's too many giants and we'll never be able to conquer it. But verse 30, Numbers 13 says, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. Joshua and Caleb, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not be afraid of the people, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. And then the Lord replied. So the Lord spoke to Moses and said, but because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the promised land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it.
So part of the meaning of the name Caleb is explorer, as you can see. Another part of it is brave and courageous, and he had to be...
It's okay.
He had to be during the first week of his life because he arrived after quite a traumatic delivery, and he was poked and prodded a good bit in his first week. But he emerged from that unscathed, and he has a wonderful temperament, a smiley disposition, and he's truly a joy to be around. He's actually so cute and adorable that I have to refrain from nibbling him. And he has the most amazing hair. Apparently Ruthann, when she was younger, had this wispy blonde hair. So I play with his hair a lot. It's great. Our prayer for Caleb is that, like his namesake, when there are times of hardship and trial, whether in his life or the community around him, that he would have eyes of faith to see the possible and the potential in any and every situation.
Amen.
Amen.
Well done, guys. You did great there. Give a round of applause. So, folks, just before we close out our time, this is a community Sunday, as I say, and there's no sermon per se, but we did want to use it as an opportunity for christenings or community updates or things that are going on in our own community. And at the end of the service, we'll have some individual updates and things that are happening. But we're in this season of back to basics at the moment, just very simply looking at what it means to be church in the 21st century. The simplicity and the basics of following Jesus. It can get so complicated and overly complicated, I would say. And so last couple of weeks, I've been talking about the importance of just simply following God. And last week, I talked about all of that is rooted in the fact that you are loved and you're invited into a relationship with Jesus. And from that place, transformation happens. And that transformation is a journey. And I shared this quote, which was from Eugene Peterson, a book I'm reading, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. And in this journey, it's so key to remember that following Jesus, it's a lifestyle on the move. We don't stop to admire what we've accomplished, rather we press on to what lies ahead. And William Faulkner, you may have heard of him, said, "There are not monuments, but footprints. A monument only says, hey, at least I got this far, while a footprint says, this is where I was when I moved again." And so Jesus is always moving us on. He's always challenging us, but always in the context of love. And one of the things he's been moving us on in our church is encouraging us to be ones who really share our faith. And so we've been running an Alpha course. We ran one there before the summer. I'd like to invite Anne Mara forward, who's going to give us some updates on how that's doing, the simplicity of sharing faith, and just getting back to basics on that. So again, can you give Anne a little round of applause? And she'll share from her house. Thanks, Anne.
Good morning, everybody. Just a quick recap. We actually ran the Alpha last January, which seems like 5 years ago now at this point. But we had 15 people sign up to take that course, and we had 7 leaders who ran it. And for those of you who don't know much about Alpha, Alpha is an 11-week series. And each week, we take a different question that we grapple with. And each week we bring in a different speaker to give their ideas and their beliefs about a particular subject. So for example, I think I saw Johnny Somerville in here today. He came and he spoke 1 week about why Jesus died. You know, it's a really easy topic for anybody to undertake. Another week we had Alex Fromholz come in and she spoke to us about how to grapple with the question of how God guides us. So this group came together every Thursday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. And we met and we shared a light meal together. And at times I would grumble about having to make soup or prepare sandwiches or whatever it was. But having food together was a critical piece of the Alpha course. And there's something sacramental about gathering around a table, looking at one another in the eye and asking about how the week went and just getting to know one another. So after a light meal, we would hear from our speaker for about 15 or 20 minutes, and then we would break into smaller groups. And that's the place where I suppose the magic really happens, where there is a safe environment for people to grapple with doubts, uncertainties, questions, beliefs, affirmations, and we really struggle to make that a a very safe place where no questions are not accepted, where there is no judgment and no condemnation. We are all on this journey together and we all have questions. So for me, it's a wonderful opportunity to really get into the nitty-gritties about what faith is all about. In the midst of all of the 11 weeks, we hold a Holy Spirit weekend or a day-long event, and we had that at our home in Hoth, and we got to learn about the Holy Spirit. And for me, the highlight of the Alpha course was the privilege and opportunity to lay hands on people and pray with them for sometimes the first time in their lives, and to watch over the period of 3 months and see how the Holy Spirit worked in each one of them, and to witness how he brought healing and freedom and deliverance and light and truth, and how that transformed these individuals over 3 months is just, it is amazing, and it is a miraculous thing to witness. So I wanted, it's all well and good for me to share my perspective, but I did ask two people to share their testimonies. And the two people I chose, I think, are from the different ends of the spectrum of the type of person who takes an Alpha course. So I asked Yao to come and speak to us, but unfortunately she's sick this morning, so I'm going to share a little bit of her story. But she's an example of somebody who was born and raised in China, moved to Ireland about 8 years ago, and she and her children were passing by the church one Sunday, and her little boy, who I think was 2 then, heard the worship music, and he said, "Mama, Mama," he said, "let's go in and listen to the music." And she'd never set foot inside of a church before. And so she walked in and she said she felt rooted to the ground. She could not move. And she said she just wanted to be bathed in this, the love she felt here and the music and the words that she was listening to. And so that started a process for her, and she met with Rob and Dillis, and they read scripture together. And, you know, remember, she was brought up in China, in a place where, a country where there is one singular ideology, and it is enforced through from the time you are a child, on, right through to college, where it says that communism is the only way, and there is no invitation to an individual belief. And so she had no concept of who God was. She came along to the Alpha course, and it's just been incredible to watch her and her journey. And she is going to be baptized here on the 8th of October, here in church. And she is just so full on for Jesus, and she is alive, and she's just, I mean, it's just incredible to see. So that's one story, and unfortunately, she couldn't be here today to share that. But the other person I asked to share is from the other end of the spectrum. This guy has been to church for donkey's years. I mean, not to imply, Vincent, that you're old or anything, but he, you know, he's been coming along to church, and sometimes we think, oh, sure, what else do we have to learn? You know, we go to church every Sunday, but Vincent, I'd like to invite you forward just to say a few words about how the Alpha course impacted you as a long-time believer and what that meant to you.
Well, I think if anything sums up where I am in my faith right now, it's that last song, you know, "You're a good, good father, and I am loved by you." I didn't feel that, though, 2 years ago when I was battling with a pretty serious illness, the deepest, darkest depression that I could have ever imagined, and confinement to home through agoraphobia, which kept me away not only from my place of employment and the job that I loved, but also my church and my community. Recovery was on its way when it was time to come back to church, and I came back to church last January in a fair amount of fear and anxiety, but believe you me, the church had the tools to help me with my recovery. First of all, it was a silent retreat organized by Andrew at Manresa, the Jesuit center in Clontarf, and it was there in the silence that I heard the Lord really speak to me in a way that I had never heard him speak to me before. And why? Because probably for the first time in a long time, I listened. I was open-eared. I do a lot of talking in my job. I'm a radio presenter. So for once, I was hearing. It was also during that time that we broke the silence curfew on a number of occasions, and I met with Mike, and his story to me was absolutely revelationary. It was also during that time that I discovered that they were organizing the Alpha Course. I had heard of the Alpha Course, I'd covered the Alpha Course through my work, and yes, I'd been in church for donkey's years, and through the Charismatic Renewal, I had done the Life in the Spirit seminar, which culminated in Baptism of the Spirit. So I thought, well, why do I need this? I'm an old hand. No, don't need to be going to an Alpha Course. But I went, and I have to say, it has been life-changing, because what I heard at Manresa was absolutely, totally confirmed by what I heard from the others on the Alpha Course, and the people in particular who were in my group, which really became so precious to me, and I made such tremendous friendships in that group. I did very little talking. I listened and kind of did justice to her description of Yo, but she's got to be seen to be believed. You know, from somebody coming from communist China, a husband who is Buddhist, and she was just on fire. She started lukewarm, and by the end of the 11 weeks, she was absolutely on fire. And I have to say, it was the same for me. I couldn't wait for Thursday to come around. The meal was gorgeous. The friendship was, the soup was beautiful. And I think Mike had a hand in that too, didn't he? Yeah, he did. He worked very hard, though. The group discussions were fantastic. And he actually came away, you know, 9:30 on a Thursday night, and I felt absolutely recharged and refreshed. So the change was a change taking place in me. I had a hunger for the word like I had never had before. I had a hunger for life, which was returning. There was a change taking place. We had the Holy Spirit Day then in Anne's house, beautiful house in Howth, and it was there that I allowed somebody to lay hands on me, something which, because of something in my past, I'm quite reticent about. I just don't like being hugged and touched and stuff. But it was amazing. I closed my eyes. I prayed along with Rob, who had put his hands on me. And at one stage, I had to put my hand behind my back and touch his hand to see what hot object he was holding in his hand. His hands were cold. But I said it to you, I was on fire. I felt a joy bubbling up inside of me that I just was terrified of, because I knew that I was going to start babbling or I was going to start crying, or it was just incredible. So I would say at the end of the 11 weeks, the deal was sealed at Anne's house. And since then, the change has been profound, you know. We do change. The Holy Spirit does change you, but I just didn't feel changed. Everybody else was noticing the change in me. I was kinder. I wanted to be, my behavior improved, you know. I was very careful about what I was reading, what I was viewing, what I was listening to. I was just seemed to be so open to positivity. Now, look, I've got the answers at the Alpha Course, I think. I've got a lot of the answers, but there are still a lot of questions that I have to ask, and I'm sure, you know, if I just keep my ears open, that I'm going to hear those answers in this amazing community and church that I'm so privileged to be a member of. And I would really and truly recommend anybody to do the Alpha Course. You know, you may think that you know it all. You may think you're a member of the club for a long time, that you don't have to go to beginner's courses again, and it's kind of a pity that it's called Alpha Course, because Alpha is the first letter in the Greek alphabet, and it kind of, you know, means that it's, you're starting, you're not. You're picking up at some stage in your journey, and you are being totally refreshed. It is an amazing course. I believe there's another one starting in January, and I'm going to do it again.
Little does he know it, but Vincent's going to be leading the next one, I think. So just quickly, just to sum up, we are going to be running another Alpha Course in January. Details to follow soon, location to follow soon. But two questions for you. One, would you consider being part of that course and helping to lead it? We do need to help with the small group discussion and the practicalities of running it every Thursday. And also, can you be praying about whether you should jump in and take this course, or if there's somebody, you know, a friend or a family member who you think would benefit from it? So thank you so much.
Thanks, Sam. Thank you. So thank you, guys. So encouraging. They'll be around to talk afterwards. And well done, Vincent. That was so brave and so articulate. So can we stand? We're going to sing our closing hymn together.